You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The very final North American International Auto Show to be held in the depths of winter will kick off in a few days. It's a turning point in the history of Detroit's auto extravaganza. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is with us. And, you know, I think about it, Daniel, for some of us, it's kind of hard to believe it has been 30 years since the Detroit Auto Show got amped up to the North American International Auto Show. All things must change, though.
Yes, and this is definitely a change. I think it's going to feel like it's going out with a bit of a whimper. You look at the press conference schedule, who's going to be here, and it's astonishing, frankly. It essentially is going to be over by midday on Monday. There's only one event on Sunday night. Used to be Sundays were packed, basically from noon to 6 o'clock. General Motors is holding a single event for the Cadillac brand on Sunday night, and that's it.
Wow.
And then we amp up on Monday morning, but I think amping is too strong of a word. There's a few things that are going to be going on, but clearly this show and auto shows in general are changing. They are not mandatory on the schedule for the industry anymore. Industry executives don't feel like they need to be there, and frankly, it's turning more towards consumer shows and away from being an industry show and a media show. I exchanged emails with an old colleague of mine who writes for Handelsblatt, which is the Wall Street Journal of Germany, and asked him about it. He said, yeah, we're not going. We'll be at CES in Las Vegas. The German automakers were there, rolled out some big things this week, but nothing in Detroit.
Why are we seeing this? Because you note in your column, this is really kind of happening with auto shows elsewhere in the U.S. and in Europe. How come?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things that are driving it. One of it is cost. I mean, automakers have historically spent a lot of money on auto shows. But as technology has evolved and you have the ability to reach select audiences very tightly through digital technologies and the internet and things like that, people are using that, and it is, in general, is a lot less expensive. A press conference at a major auto show could cost $500,000 to throw, and a thing only lasts 15, 25 minutes. Whereas if you do a product reveal like Ford did last night of the Explorer at Ford Field, it could cost half that, you know, $200,000, $100,000 to have a big event. You have everybody focused on your product. You're not competing with the Ram over here and the Jeep in 10 minutes and the Toyota in 25 minutes and the Volkswagen. You have a captive audience. And I think they find that they have a much greater return on their investment, and the investment is actually less. The other thing is the industry is in a real state of flux now. People are very focused on traditional cars and trucks, particularly SUVs in the U.S. market, but there's a lot of technology. There's a lot of talk of hybrid vehicles and certainly autonomous vehicles. They're not ready to really show that stuff.
Daniel, what do we know about what the auto show is going to look like next year? What it'll look like, how it will happen? And the fact we know it's going to be in June, so nobody will be sloshing through snow.
Right. So we're off about an 18-month hiatus, whatever, however that math works out, roundabout. It's going to be in Kobo, anchored in Kobo. I would expect it's going to be smaller, like this current show. They are talking with the German automakers, trying to get them to come back. The Germans have not committed. I would be astonished if they're back the first year. I think there's some things that need to happen, obviously. A lot of things can happen in the industry. There's a lot of churn right now going on. People are, you know, restructuring, talking about killing various products, maybe closing a plant, taking out salaried workforce. I mean, that's happening all around the world in various ways. So I think we've got to see how that plays out and also how the economic environment plays out before they're going to make some of those decisions. And then some of it is going to be more experiential outside. As I recall, they're going to have down around Hart Plaza, they're going to have an area that's essentially fenced off, meaning you can't get into it as a member of the public unless you have a ticket.
Meantime, talk to us about the news coming out of Ford. What are you hearing?
Mm-hmm. Well, they had a press conference this morning. I think my colleague had to be on a call at 5 a.m. to talk about a restructuring of Europe, which we knew was coming. We've known a lot of these things are coming. I think I would expect we're going to see something about the Ford in South America as well. Europe's a bit of a bigger deal. They're going to be doing similar things that they've sort of announced in North America, which is on the product side, they're going to rationalize their product lineup, get out of things that they feel are not profitable and are not going to be profitable. They may be taking some plant actions and some salaried workforce actions. It is very, very difficult to close manufacturing facilities in Western Europe. Very difficult and very expensive, particularly in France and Germany. I suspect that they've just recently taken an action on a plant they have in Bordeaux. They have a couple of other plants in Germany. It's interesting to note Ford, the Blue Oval, is the market leader in the UK, and they do not produce cars in the UK. Brexit comes in March, and I think there's some real concern about what that might do. Now, the fact that Ford is not producing in Britain is probably a good thing, because if they were, I think that plant might be imperiled by Brexit, depending on how the details all shake out. So I think this is a presage of what we're going to see probably in the second quarter in the U.S. We've been talking about General Motors over the last month or so, and it's not just going to be a GM story. It's going to be a GM and a Ford story.
With jobs and with effect jobs in North America as well.
Yes. I would expect with Ford in North America, the plant actions are going to be less extensive than they are with General Motors. There's no question that General Motors has a lot more unused capacity, plant capacity, than Ford. Ford has been very good at managing their plant capacity usage in the United States. As a result, the likelihood that they're going to have to go into negotiations next year and ask for or try to get some actions on plants is, I think, dramatically diminished at Ford compared to General Motors. That's going to be a very tough negotiation, both in the U.S. and in Canada.
And then briefly, what can you tell us about these reports about Ford and VW making some kind of big announcement?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of 2+2=5 here. This is an open secret that these two companies are having these negotiations and these discussions, I should say, about a potential alliance over commercial vehicles, autonomous vehicle development, potentially small cars in Europe, and potentially a Volkswagen brand vehicles produced in Ford factories in the United States, which would also be a net positive for the UAW. It is entirely possible there could be an announcement of some kind or talking about some things that they have sorted out. I think we've been cautioned against coming to a conclusion that this would be the big grand announcement of this is what we're going to do. I continue to be very skeptical of this, not that it's going on, but the chances that it will succeed. Ford and Volkswagen have been partners in the past. They were in a venture in the 90s called Auto Latina down in South America. It dissolved. It wasn't a big success. We know, many of us in this market, what Daimler and Chrysler was like. I covered it. I lived in Germany. I lived that thing for 4 years. The Germans don't play well with others. And as a general rule in this industry, they see themselves as the top of the heap. And if you're going to be in a partnership, you have to be partners. And I'm a little skeptical that that would work going forward. However, we are moving into a period in the industry where partnership, I think, is the new holy grail. You see it between the auto companies and Silicon Valley a lot. Smaller companies, you see General Motors acquiring what is now Cruise, GM Cruise Automation, because they're all coming to the realization that to get to the next level of auto 2.0, of autonomous vehicles and mobility, nobody, including Apple, including Google, has everything they need to realize it. And so they're looking for partners to make it happen.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.